Ben Webb is on here.
You're listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg LeSeer, and the message today is titled, What is Our Duty as Christians to Our Earthly Country, America?
Happy July 4th weekend. The Lord's blessings be upon you and upon his people and upon our nation this day. Amen. Amen. So today is July 5th, 2026, which means that yesterday, of course, was July 4th, 2026. So we're on the birthday anniversary, 250th, of our nation's founding when the Declaration of Independence was signed on July 4th, 1776. So as our country is celebrating its 250th anniversary at this time, and we're all thinking stars and stripes and red, white, and blue, I thought it'd be a great week for us to talk about America and our duty as Christians to our country at this time. What is God calling us to do? Should we be part of all the festivities and sing USA and praise God and what should be our heart and attitude in these celebrations concerning our country, especially as we're Christians and we're really citizens of the heavenly country, Christ's kingdom? So we have a dual citizenship, citizens of heaven and citizens of earth, of our country. How do those two get to go together? And what is our duty? What is our calling as God's people, as American Christians, towards our country, these United States of America, at this time and into the future? So let's talk about that today and see what God would teach us by his word so that we can be clear on those things. First of all, are we citizens of an earthly country or ultimately of one country in heaven? Well, God's word is very clear that ultimately our true and eternal identity as God's people, the church on earth, is that we are citizens of the heavenly country of heaven. Jesus is our true king, heaven our true country. We can read that here then in the Bible, because we always going to want to get everything from God's word. Jesus told his disciples in John 15, he said, "You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." What's that mean? It means Jesus, as the King of heaven, comes and chooses people out of the world to be his own. And when we become his own, we become strangers in the world. We have no earthly country in that sense. We're exiles. We're pilgrims. The greater pilgrims, passing through this world, this earthly temporary world, to our heavenly home and our heavenly country above, which is heaven and the kingdom of Christ in the world to come. So Jesus is our true king. Heaven is our true country. Jesus is the king of heaven. Jesus told the Jews, "You are from below. I'm from above. You are of this world. I'm not of this world. But you can become of my world if you believe in me as your king and Lord and Savior." We also see when he was on trial before Pilate in John 18, Jesus said, "My kingship is not of this world. If my kingship were of this world, then my servants would fight that I might not be handed over to the Jews. But my kingship and my kingdom is not of this world." So are you citizens of heaven? As Christians, that's our true identity. I got my baptismal certificate here. This is my passport, if you will, to my heavenly country, which is the kingdom of Christ. So that's our first, truest identity. In the deepest and truest sense of the word, our eternal identity is to be citizens of heaven. Amen? Jesus is our true King, and heaven our true country. That being said, are we also citizens of the United States of America? And is that acknowledged in God's word and in God's sight and good? Absolutely. Just as I have a heavenly passport here with my name on it, signed for heaven, my passport to be a citizen of that country, I also got my earthly passport, right? God's put this into my hands. Greg Lassier, a member of the United States of America, a citizen, shows me I'm a citizen of an earthly country as well. So I also have an earthly country, according to God, in which God has placed me, according to his divine will, to put me into this place for this time. We read in Acts 22 that God acknowledges your earthly citizenship as American Christians as well, that you're Americans, that is. For we read in Acts 22, when Paul, remember, he goes to Jerusalem, and he is preaching to the Jews, Jesus Christ, that they might be saved. The Jews said to Paul, "Away with such a fellow from the earth. This man ought not to live." Remember, the tribune had to come and grab Paul and drag him in lest he be killed by the crowd in Jerusalem. Not a very nice reception for a man who's trying just to save their souls. They were not very mature there, of course. They were attacking to kill him. And they brought him into the barracks. Remember, they're going to examine him by scourging to see what was this great commotion about. And they bound him and were about to scourge him when Paul says, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man who's a Roman citizen and uncondemned?" And the centurion was alarmed at this. He's like, "You're a Roman citizen? Oh my goodness." He goes to the tribune and says, "What are we about to do? You're about to scourge a Roman citizen without even a trial." So the tribune is alarmed and he goes and says to Paul, "Tell me, are you a Roman citizen?" Paul said, "Yes." The tribune answered, "I bought this citizenship for a large sum. How'd you get a citizenship?" And Paul says, "But I was born a citizen." So notice Paul acknowledges his earthly citizenship, his earthly passport, if you will, as a Roman citizen. And he used that as he traveled about the ancient world more freely on account of it, helped himself to get out of a few scrapes like this one on account of it, even though he still met with trouble at every turn, because ultimately he's a citizen of heaven and the earth was more or less in charge, is basically in charge by the devil. And so he acknowledged there's a dual citizenship, amen? Do we have a dual citizenship? You're members of the heavenly country, that's your true identity, the eternal kingdom of Christ, that's really who we are. But we're also made by God citizens of America, of these United States for a time, according to God's will. And that's good and right and acknowledged by God in Scripture. So can we love then our earthly country as well, especially in this 250th anniversary? Can we be patriots? Can we celebrate this? Can we be excited about being American Christians and our country in these days? And can we seek its welfare? Should that be on our hearts and minds as a priority? Well, God says yes and absolutely. Where do we see this in Scripture? Let's open up the Bible again to Jeremiah 29. We see here that God's people at that time were exiles. They were cast out of their home country, Israel, and they'd been carried away to Babylon. God said, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." He said, "Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens, eat their produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there, don't decrease." Watch this, it says, "But seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare." What's that teach you? It teaches us that even if we're apart from our homeland, our real homeland above, and we're in exile, if you will, strangers in a country that's not ultimately ours, this present age, Yet pray to the Lord in the city where I've placed you, God says. Pray to the Lord on its behalf. In its welfare, you're going to find your welfare. In other words, if I've placed you, God says, into the United States of America, pray for your country. Seek its welfare and honor it and bring it up to know me and be blessed. Is that scriptural? We see actually all through the Bible, God has got his people far away from their homeland in foreign countries. And they blessed their places, like Esther, remember her. She was ultimately from Israel, but she was placed in the kingdom of Persia, where God appointed her to be queen, and she not only saved the Jews, but blessed that land from her position in the time of her being there. Who knows whether you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this, said her uncle Mordecai. Remember Joseph, he was far away from his home country, Israel, in Egypt. God sent him there to bless his people, especially to save the Jews, but also to bless all of the country of Egypt that they be able to be preserved in the days of the 7 years of the famine. So he's in a foreign country, but God said, bless that land while you're there. You have Daniel. He gave great counsel and help to the kingdoms of Babylon and Persia. And John Wycliffe, remember in the 1300s, maybe some of you remember the guy. No, you weren't there. But he translated the Bible into English, even to the great fury of the Pope and rage. But nevertheless, he was to bless England in his days as an Englishman. Luther blessed his country, Germany, in his days and all the world by recovering the gospel of how we're saved through faith alone in Christ alone. And you and I are called and placed by God according to his ultimate divine wisdom and purposes into the country of the United States of America for just such a time as this, to be American Christian patriots, to pray to the Lord on its behalf, that this country also be blessed by your presence here, by the presence of the church in our great country. So you can love stars and stripes. You can love the red, white, and blue. And mom and apple pie. I had a little apple pie last night. I don't know if it's good for me, but it was fun. What specifically, then, does God want us to do as Christians in this country of which we're a part temporarily, until we attain our heavenly land above? Well, number one, Jesus said a moment ago, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. In other words, pay your taxes and render to God the things that are God's, all your praise and thanks and trust. Paul says, pay the authorities, pay all of your taxes and render to them the honor due to them. So we're secondly to obey our government. Yeah, we're supposed to honor them in everything, our governing authorities, and every way that you can do while being obedient to Christ and your conscience. We read that, of course, like in Peter, 1 Peter 2, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. And Paul says that every human institution, every government is set up by God, has his authority, so obey and honor your government. God set it up and wants you to honor and obey it. Do we have to do that all the time, by the way? If your government, our government, goes in ways that are wrong, as all earthly governments do, if they do, and you'd have to go against your conscience and your Christian faith, then at that point you are bound by duty and honor to your heavenly country to practice bold defiance. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego honored the king Nebuchadnezzar until he told them to bow down before an idol. And they said, oh no, we're going to obey God rather than men, as the apostles also said to the Jews. And they were willing to be cast into the fire and defy boldly. Well, we have to defy boldly our government if they do anything that's wrong or goes against our heavenly country, which is our true citizenship. But in all other things that we can, we should be good citizens and therefore bring honor and glory to the name of Christ, that we're good citizens and we bring honor to his name through our obedience. Thirdly, and very importantly, we got to pray for our country. Do you guys pray for the United States? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, God says, then I'll hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. We've got to pray for the city in which God has sent us to be for a time, for in its welfare we're going to find our welfare. Pray for your governing authorities, says Paul in 1 Timothy 2, that we might lead quiet and peaceful lives, and that we might live godly and respectful in every way. Pray to the Lord on its behalf. Do you do that? Our country needs our prayers. For blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven. Do good as Christians in your country. This is the call of every Christian in every country, by the way. The church is to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. In whatever country God's placed you, for us, the stars and stripes, the red, white, and blue, be the church. Shine. Let your good deeds be out there. Bless and fill the land with the Christian presence, that it be blessed and preserved. You know, salt preserves things, doesn't it? If you want to preserve food, you got to put salt on it. And we preserve our country by our very presence as the church. Because Jesus, remember with Sodom and Gomorrah, and he was heading there, and Abraham said, will you destroy the city if you find even 10 righteous people in it? Well, if I find 10 righteous, I'll preserve the whole city, Jesus says, for the sake of the 10. It's the presence of the church in America that is preserving the United States in days when, well, yeah, it has gone astray from a lot of good things, but the church is shining, and it has so blessed our country, and God has blessed our country. Let's consider what we can give thanks for on this great weekend of celebration. I'm going to say, I am so thankful that God has blessed our country, these United States, all these years, through the Christian heritage we have. You know, our forefathers came here largely to base this country in faith upon the foundation of the Christian faith in Jesus Christ. It's part of our nation's DNA, just injected into our whole personality as American Christians. Isn't that great? What other country is like that? You know, you go to other countries and they kicked the Bible believers out. But America said, come here and worship in freedom. The pilgrims in 1620 on the shores of Cape Cod at the Mayflower Compact, they basically said, we've undertaken this endeavor, quote, for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith and for the honor of king and country. Good start, America. You got the Massachusetts Bay Colony, where I'm from, more or less Boston. They wanted to set up a community on earth that was like that was to be the city set on a hill, a light to the nations of faith in Christ. That was in Massachusetts. At the Declaration of Independence from Great Britain, signed July 4, 1776, we started with a statement of faith. Think about that. It all started with a statement of really Christian faith. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So it started with a statement of faith. Then we had a few years later with the Declaration of Independence, the writing of the Constitution, 1787, they got together, they tried to come up with a Constitution. They were getting nowhere. You know this story. They couldn't agree, they argued, they couldn't get anywhere until Ben Franklin stood up, said, I've lived, sir, a long time. The longer I live, the more convincingly I see this truth, that God governs the affairs of men. I firmly believe this, and I firmly believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. In other words, the only hope we have is if we seek God's help, as we sought it in the American Revolution. That's the only way we're going to get through this. So they all broke together, a common decision, went over to church and prayed for 3 days and fasted, came back and wrote the Constitution easily and quickly. That's the foundation of our country. And God has been so merciful to us, amen, to give us miraculously deliverances through his almighty hands. I remember, not that I was there, but Manhattan in August 1776, 250 years ago, General Washington was on the peninsula of Manhattan, basically surrounded by the British forces pressing him in. The British fleet sailing up the East River, he was trapped and it was gonna be over right there. Except that on that very night, a thick fog settled over that coast and came down in the darkness. Washington kept his watchfires lit, and a strange, gentle breeze blew against the British fleet sailing up to cut them off, which delayed them several hours. And in the thickness of the fog, in the darkness of the night, Washington evacuated all of his troops off of Manhattan, the British not seeing his trick. And in the morning, they rushed his position, ready for final victory, only to find the last boat leaving the shores and Washington on the little craft disappearing into the fog. That was God's hand, I believe, delivering our country miraculously. He's been so gracious to us. We can give thanks for that. We can give thanks that just a few years later, when 1814, August 24th, the British troops actually were burning down Washington. Do you know that? They actually set fire to the Capitol building. They set fire to the White House and to the nation's library, and it was going up in flames, save for a unique and strange event that a hurricane came and descended on Washington, D.C. and put out all of their fires on that very day. The British marched to Baltimore, because if they took that, our country would be over. They sailed in with a fleet of hundreds of ships and fired all night upon Fort McHenry. Remember that? And they sought to strike down that flag. If the flag came down, that would be the end of our country. And they tried all night to do it. But as the national anthem says, "So say can you see by the dawn's early light, what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming. The rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave." God delivered our country again by his miraculous outstretched hand. One of the shells of the British even going into the magazine on Fort McHenry, but it failed to explode. God saved us once again. And Alex de Tocqueville, who was a French diplomat at the time, came to America. He's like, why did the French Revolution at the same time end in a bloodbath in Paris and just murder and destruction, but in America it prospered and blossomed into peace? And he went around America and he discovered and he said, this is why. Because I see on every street corner there is a church and Christians who are reaching out their hands to their communities with food banks and prayers, good deeds, and preaching Jesus Christ. That's why he believed that our nation came through the revolution blessed by the Lord. So we can give thanks. I give thanks today for our nation's Christian heritage. Do you agree? Praise be to God for his almighty hand blessing us so. But we cannot rest as a country on previous blessings or victories or even Christian presence, because our country has gone into far afield, into many wrong things over the course of its time. Even in the early days, there was great wickedness that had to be fought in the days of the revolution by the church. And Christians today, in the same way, we've got to stand up in our country and use this time not to just fire off rockets and celebrate or pat ourselves on the back. Guess what? American exceptionalism, I don't go for that. I go to God exceptionalism. He's been so gracious to us. This is not a time to pat ourselves on the back, but praise God with knees on the ground, giving him thanks and asking his favor upon us once again. Because like Ben Franklin said, if we try to succeed in the days to come without seeking his help and aid, we will succeed no better than those who tried to build the Tower of Babel. Return to the Lord is the call of us in this time as Christians, as our brothers and sisters did in times past. And so let's be salt of the earth and the light of the world to our country, to love it in these days and preach to it Jesus Christ. And I just got a word from Ian and Jeannie They were at the Washington festivities yesterday in D.C., and they said, "It's amazing. You got to share this with a congregation pastor. There's Christians everywhere. Jesus all over this place. People on the t-shirts, they're all preaching and praising and glorying God and calling the country to Him. And there is such a great movement in our day of thousands of young people coming to Christ, being patriotic again, seeking the Lord and seeking and coming to Him for salvation. This is our calling, friends, as the church of heaven on the earth in every country, to preach that God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. So love our country. Stars and Stripes were super blessed by God. Let's pray God continue those blessings to forgive us our sins and to go in the way of our coinage motto, "In God we trust in the days to come." May that be our great call. But always remembering that here we have no lasting city, says the Bible, but we're seeking the city which is to come, the better heavenly country. And therefore, God's not ashamed to be called our God. He has prepared for us a city. He's prepared for us a kingdom. And He's already setting it up and set it up in Jesus Christ, a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, says Daniel, nor shall its sovereignty be left to another people. That kingdom shall break in pieces all the kingdoms of the earth. They have an expiration date and bring them to an end. But His kingdom shall stand forever. And that's where we're heading, friends, the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ at the King's great return. So let's live as Christians in the United States of America, loving our country in these days, but aiming for and running towards our true and heavenly kingdom. For we'll end with this one, Philippians 3. Our true citizenship is, friends, in heaven. And from it, we're awaiting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's going to change our lowly bodies to be like His glorious body by that same power which enables Him even to subject all things to Himself. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, "What is Our Duty as Christians to Our Earthly Country, America?" A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, diagonally across from the City Hall building. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.